Welcome to Marketing and the Sales Guy, a show where a sales guy attempts to show how smart he is by sharing and discussing marketing ideas with real smart people in B2B marketing. Hi, everyone. On the podcast today, I have Mark Tobias from Mutinex. Welcome, Mark. Thanks very much for being on the pod today.
Thanks, Jeremy. It's good to be part of this.
Great. No, fantastic. We're going to talk today about marketing mix modeling. But before we jump into that, Mark, would you mind telling us briefly what Mutinex does and what you do there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Global Head of Sales and Marketing at Mutinex. Mutinex is in the business of market mix modeling, but unlike the conventional route that I assume many of your listeners are probably familiar with and have experienced, we deliver it in a platform experience. So faster, more accessible, and just a different way of thinking about and ultimately using data from market mix to measure, improve, and improve marketing ROI.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I was going to ask you to begin with, what is marketing mix modeling? And how it's maybe changed a little bit since people first heard of it. You've answered that. But if you had to give a simple definition to marketing mix modeling, what would you say?
Yeah, it's a good question. Look, the simple definition is there are a lot of factors that ultimately will impact business performance. Most attribution models look primarily just at media, and there's obviously media mix modeling as an offset of that. Market mix is about really understanding and looking at that whole ecosystem. And so not only looking at the performance of media and obviously marketing investment, but understanding how all those elements operate and perform within an ecosystem to ultimately drive the desired outcome, which for most marketers who tune in is probably growth or profit or revenue or something to that effect.
You've mentioned a couple of the sources there. What are the key sources that we should use for modeling? I guess a temptation is to go for the easiest source or to maybe include too many, but what in your opinion would be the key sources of data to consider?
Yeah, look, the easiest route is just to look at touch-based attribution or click-based, right? But from a market mix modeling, look, it does vary category to category and obviously business to business, but your general rule of thumb, at a minimum, you obviously need your sales data. Pricing or promotional data is very helpful, particularly in some categories, more so than others. And obviously the media data, that's your primary data sets, and you don't start market mix without them. There's then on top of that, a whole range of optional or kind of additive data sets. And they range from things like macroeconomic and external factors, the weather, the economy, all those types of things to more business and category specific as well. A share of market or share of spend, competitor activity, all those types of things. In terms of going to your question around, well, what's the right amount? Honestly, the way to truly answer that from a statistical standpoint is actually to look at the model fit. And provided you have a satisfactory model fit, then you've probably got a right amount of data. One of the things that we often will talk to our customers and their agencies about when onboarding is don't boil the ocean, so to speak. Don't try fixate about trying to have every single data set in there because it's never going to be perfect. And you'll almost have analysis paralysis to start trying to get every data set in rather than actually getting speed to insight and obviously speed to using that insight to make a decision.
What are the challenges here in collecting the data and the right data? What are the challenges you come across?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Often the biggest challenges businesses have is that it's the data is so disparate, right? I talk to CMOs all the time and they don't have access to or own their media data. It sits with an agency, sometimes it's with multiple agencies and maybe an internal team as well. They often don't have access to pricing or revenue data. That sits in finance. And so some of the biggest challenges are not necessarily access to the data, but knowing where that data lives and obviously bringing it all together for the modeling.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point. I hadn't actually considered that. One of the things that always comes up when you're talking about modeling is this whole idea of, you know, attribution and the measurement of that. What are the big challenges there? And I think there are some challenges on the horizon, if I'm not wrong. Where do you stand on kind of attribution challenges currently and what the future holds there?
Look, I think the attribution challenges, I think you're inferring that are very much in that cookie world and tied to walled gardens, privacy, the whole evolving privacy landscape, and the things like ad blockers are just making it more increasingly problematic to do click or touch base or multi-touch attribution. And it's why a lot of businesses who MTA was their bread and butter for many years and have moved or are moving out of it. The future is market mix, or at least market mix as part of that future. I don't believe there's a silver bullet. There's pros and cons to different types of attribution. Ultimately, it's about having a better and more sophisticated view of what is driving performance. And as I touched on before, a lot of those conventional attribution models will assume media or marketing drives every sale, as an example. And the reality is that's not the case. And so market mix is playing an increasingly more prominent role in that attribution conversation. But importantly, and what's sometimes lost in that conversation, is that market mix modeling is also really about incrementality. Because if you accept the idea that there are sales, and obviously it does vary, again, business to business and category to category, but if you accept the notion that each business has a certain portion of baseline sales, a certain portion of sales driven by price or promotion, a certain portion driven by external factors or seasonality or those types of variables, then you naturally move towards a view that, well, I need to have a model or an attribution model that recognizes and attributes to all those aspects in addition to my media investment, because media has a short and long-term effect, and those other factors naturally impact both the short and long-term as well. So I've probably given you a long-winded answer to your question, but if I was to really summarize it, market mix modeling is fast becoming more widely adopted. Again, I guess is probably the key word there, and in part driven by the fact that it is an attribution model that is privacy friendly. It isn't reliant on cookie or tracking data. And in terms of the future, it's certainly future proof that it's not a silver bullet. And so there are other different things that marketers and media people should still look at, but it's certainly in terms of where we are today and certainly what the next 12, 24, 36 months looks like, I'd say if you're not doing market mix, you better get on your skates. You better put your skates on and get to it before some of those other attribution models completely collapse.
Oh, listen, Mark, that's a great answer. You're actually doing a great job of anticipating what I'm really asking as well. I was really hinting at cookie and tracking there. So you're doing a great job of seeing where my real question is. No, very comprehensive answer. And no, that was great. Listen, I think when a lot of people think about marketing mix modeling, they tend to think of it in the performance marketing arena. Is it relevant for branding? And you know, what are the complications there in terms of thinking about branding in this whole model?
Yeah, look, market mix, it's a really interesting one. My background, I've always been a performance marketer. And so I was probably resistant to market mix in my earlier days, certainly if I think back to when I was very much on the tools. And I was probably resistant to it because, look, I probably no secret, right? Google and Meta have done a really good job at instant attribution through kind of cookies and the like. And so I'd say potentially it's probably, I don't know if it's a controversial view, but I'd say it's almost the inverse to what you're suggesting, Jeremy, in that from a brand standpoint, most senior marketers, particularly the ones that I talk to, and I'm dealing with a lot, both in many markets now, actually, not just in Australia, most will actually look at it and see market mix as one of the few ways they can truly measure and quantify the effect of brand. And I mean that both in the short and long term. A lot of your listeners probably invest sizable amounts of budget into market research and brand tracking and those types of things to track and measure things like brand consideration, unprompted awareness, spontaneous awareness, and the like. But actually translating that into a commercial value, which ultimately, like, if we're going to be fair to income, that's what the CFO and CEO really care about. There are a few CEOs from time to time that are probably more marketing or brand inclined, but ultimately when they're accountable to their shareholders, it's what's on the balance sheet and what's driving value that's most important. And so being able to actually put brand and put the impact of brand into their language and into dollar terms, I think is one of the most powerful aspects of market mix. Where it starts to become quite interesting, and if I put my performance marketing hat on, is that I'd assume most performance marketers, at least I hope, maybe assumption's probably a bit too optimistic today, but I would hope most performance marketers recognize that as good as they are at performance marketing, they naturally benefit from brand. And so I think one of the interesting use cases we're starting to see more widely talked about, certainly not new space, is that effect of brand on performance marketing and that halo or ecosystem sort of effect that it can have as well. I think that's a really interesting space to be when you start to think about not brand and performance as being separate, but actually part of that broader ecosystem. And some of them having stronger effects in the short term versus long, but ultimately them working harmoniously together to drive that outcome that every business is obviously looking for.
Yeah, no, listen, that makes a great deal of sense. Listen, whenever I think about marketing mix modeling, it tends to involve a lot of consultants. There's a big consulting business around this whole area. Obviously, you hinted at this at the beginning when you explained your role. Where would you see the differences in approaches?
Oh, look, this is definitely a hot topic at the moment in my LinkedIn feed. Not a day goes by I don't see different views, naturally biased and unashamedly biased on my view on the future in this space. Look, it's an interesting one. I've been a client many years and had great insights provided to me by some of our natural competitors today, right? The consulting model. So I don't think it's comparing apples with apples when you compare the two. I think there are strengths to both approaches. Ultimately, in my biased view and probably the category as a whole, right? We're certainly not the only software solution in this space globally. There are a few interesting businesses doing similar. Is that ultimately, if you think about how technology has become a democratizer for businesses and allows a startup, as an example, to compete with much larger businesses because suddenly they can access the insights, the technology, the smarts, all those things that technology enables. I take that same view with market mix, in that from a platform approach or from a SaaS model, where we have a technological advantage, that means we can deliver insights faster, more accurately, more efficiently at scale. And so I don't think it's a like for, we don't necessarily see the consulting models, our competitors in this space. I know many of our customers or prospects, the market might still see that. I actually think that they're two completely different products and two completely different types of solutions. And some are better fitted to certain businesses than others. And some, it's for some businesses, it's probably do both, because one has one purpose and one has another. So I know I'm probably sitting on the fence there, but in part because I recognize my own view on the world is biased, but in part because I do see benefit in the consulting model. I just think that technology has evolved how we can deliver. And so there are businesses who will naturally gravitate to that, and there'll be businesses that don't. And that's the beauty of being in a capitalist world and having options as our customers do.
Yeah, no, listen, I don't think you're sitting on the fence. I think that was a very fair answer, a very balanced answer. So, no, I appreciate that. So what are some of the challenges that companies have in actually the implementation? You know, I don't know if you can share any specific examples or customer stories, but is there some illustration of how you maybe solved a particular challenge?
Yeah, look, there's a few kind of key areas that sort of spring up in terms of market mix. The first is actually is justifying or recognizing the need for market mix. And I'm honestly, I had to stop myself this morning, even writing a LinkedIn post on this. I'm baffled when marketers are aware that the attribution models they're using, to an extent, vanity metrics, in the sense that they're really efficiency metrics when you look at a lot of the media metrics that the marketers tend to benchmark and plan around. And I find it puzzling or troublesome to an extent, even, that when there is a better and more credible way of doing a market mix, and this isn't even necessarily spruiking our own services, right? I would rather have, if I talk to a CMO and they're doing, yes, I'd rather them be working with us, but I actually would say good on you, because you're heading in the right direction around getting credibility and being, holding yourself to account. That's probably one of the biggest challenges. I find that many marketers either are intimidated or not quite sure how or why they should be doing it. And that's probably one of the biggest barriers. Once you get overcome that, and many overcome that because they recognize that if you've got to have any credibility with your CFO or CEO, sorry for that matter, you need to have something that's a bit more robust, that is statistically sound, that is externally verified. Like, I still scratch my head when you hear businesses having their media agency report on the media effectiveness. I'm like, hang on, I'm sure they're doing a great job, but you wouldn't let your kids mark their homework. So why would you trust a business who's investing millions of dollars for you, tens and tens of millions of dollars, or hundreds in some cases, to do this? And even if you trust them explicitly, which is great if you do, right? There are some brands I work with that love their agency, and kudos to them, right? There's some brilliant media agencies globally, but there are others that you just talk to and they have a different experience and view. But even if you do trust them and you do wholeheartedly believe that they've got your best intentions, which hopefully they all do, if your finance team feels it important to have their books externally audited once a year, surely media as your biggest line item in a marketer's budget could warrant the same attention. So that's probably the first sort of challenge. Once we get past that, I think the data piece is the next. Data can have two problems. One is that disparate data that we talked about before and not really knowing where it is, how to get it, or almost being overwhelmed and thinking, oh, I need to get a data warehouse and this is a big data program I need to do before I'm MMM ready. And to be honest, it's not, you know, I know you asked for some case studies. I've got to be careful in what I say, but that's a common objection, I guess, is probably a way to frame it. And realistically, we work through that. We work through that because we've got the best tooling and processes in terms of how we support businesses and agencies in organizing and ingesting and including all forms of data into the modeling. And so I can't go into too much detail in terms of what we're doing because some of that is a bit of our secret sauce, but that's a common problem and one that we have solved. I think the final kind of one that often comes up is, who should own market mix, right? Ultimately, and you asked this question before around brand, ultimately the CMO is the person who's going to benefit most from the insights, right? Because the CMO's job is, whilst they're called chief marketing officer, they're really the chief investment officer, if you think about it, or chief growth officer, because in most cases, marketing is one of the few or only ways a business can actually grow. And so if you've got an attribution model that actually helps align their media and marketing activity, both short and long-term, to that growth and something that can hold them accountable and help them improve that, then you've got a tool that ultimately sits at the CMO's, it should be the CMO's best friend. And we do see that with quite a few of our customers because we're a platform. We see who logs into the platform. And surprisingly, in some cases, but unsurprisingly, when I think out loud around that sort of what I've just said there, it's often the most senior marketer in a business that's actually logging in regularly and looking at data. Now, they're probably not using it to make decisions, at least optimization decisions, but certainly looking at what's happening in the ecosystem. But I think that challenge around, does it sit in the media team? Does it sit with the agency? Does it sit in the analytics team? Does it sit in our COE? Does it sit with the brand team? That's a real common challenge. And honestly, there's no cookie cutter approach to it. It does depend on the business. The benefit of a platform experience is that you can democratize that data and you can make it accessible to all the different elements within that. And I'd probably say that is one of the benefits in some ways of this approach to, say, consulting. Now, I know that the counter to that will be, well, yes, but data can also be weaponized in businesses. The benefit in that is that we actually can permission manage the whole platform. So our CMO might end up being the power user and they can then grant access to different parts of the platform, to anyone, both within the business and obviously their agency village as well.
Yeah, no, listen, that's great, Mark. Listen, just to round off with kind of one more question, marketing mix modeling normally associated with certain size of a business. Is that still the case or is it open to different sizes of businesses? And you know, I don't know if there are businesses it doesn't apply for. And just as a quick follow-up question as well, if a company is thinking about going down this route, what is the first thing they should be thinking about?
Yeah, it's a good question. It somewhat goes back to the earlier point around software approach and obviously what Mutinex is doing as one of the leaders in this space around democratizing market mix and making it accessible. Now, price has traditionally been one of the biggest barriers to market mix. It's been one of the biggest barriers, or still remains one of the biggest barriers in the consulting sort of world into doing it regularly. There are businesses that do it once a year, and I don't want to get sidetracked into efficacy of models and lag on data and those types of things. But look, there's a range of kind of criteria or variables. But if you find yourself nodding to any of these, then you're probably in the right, you probably should be giving it more thought and certainly would encourage you to check out our website and reach out. If you're spending over, look, there's no science to this, but anywhere over $3 to $4 million a year in media, you probably should be looking at it. Reason being, the uplift or the improvements we would expect to see should more than offset the investment in it. And in that sense, we're in the business of ROI. And so we'd say we would expect that you would get a positive return through doing that. So that's the first one. If you are a business that's doing a lot of above the line activity or any above the line activity or brand activity, it doesn't have to be above the line. Obviously, digital channels these days increasingly are used even probably more for awareness. But if you are in the business of looking at reach, buyers, awareness and performance and really want to start to compare and connect all those different data sets, then market mix is definitely for you. If you're a business that doesn't, I'd say, okay, so pure play e-com retail is probably maybe the exception to the rule. But if you're a business that doesn't have a buying journey that can start and finish within a 24-hour window, that doesn't own the end-to-end customer journey. So obviously a lot of products are sold through resellers, retailers, et cetera, then you should be doing it. Otherwise, what are you optimizing to? What are you planning against? How are you measuring media success? And then I guess the final one is if you genuinely want to have credibility with your C-suite, if you want to talk revenue rather than reach, if you want to talk incrementality rather than just media attribution, then you should be doing market mix. That's what you get out of it. And so that's probably the key criteria.
Well, that's great, Mark. Thanks very much for sharing all of that. We actually covered quite a wide range of topics today. No, that was wonderful. Thank you very much for sharing your insights on that. Listen, Mark, I'm going to obviously include some links in the show notes, but if people wanted to reach out to you or find out more about Mutinex, what's the kind of best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, look, the best way would be to go to our website, www.mutinex.co, so that's .co. We've got the ability there to request a demo or find out more info. We've also got some case studies, customer testimonials. So that'll come through either to myself or one of our team globally, depending which market you or which country you're inquiring from. We'd absolutely be happy to provide a bit more oversight, bit of insight, and obviously share how we could help. Ultimately, we value our customers and our partnerships. And so if we don't think we're the right fit for you, we're pretty transparent around that as well.
No, that's fantastic. Once again, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, Jeremy.
So, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, do share. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you want to access other podcasts and related articles, you can visit us at omjmedia.com. That's omjmedia.com. Until next time, bye-bye.